This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 4, Episode 20. On tonight's show, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Basically, wishes that nerds want and how they're not always the best ones to come about. Swamp Thing, Deadpool 3, all types of stuff. So with that, here's the intro. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess 5150 welcoming you back to another All Things Nerd podcast. We record every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, or 11 p.m. Eastern Time if you're over there on the East Coast. We come here to chit-chat about the weekly nerd news roundup, and we enjoy when you come by and talk to us as well and let us know what your thoughts and opinions are on that. We always open this show out with what we call getting your geek on. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Getting your geek on is what we've been doing for the last week, or what we plan to do, or things that we should stay far away from, that will help you with your quarantine, basically, if you're still quarantined. And yeah, so that's how we introduce the people on the show as well. I am Mess5150. I have been off the show for over a week because I've been on over a week, over a month because I've been on daddy duty. So I am very rusty, as you can tell on this. But my whole geek out the entire time has, if anything, has been Once Upon a Time. I've been binging the hell out of that. And I even watched the spinoff, the Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which actually wasn't bad for it only being on one season. I don't know if you guys checked that out or not.
I don't know, but I thought you were going to say you were geeking out about your little clone trooper that you produced.
Oh, that too. But he's quietly sleeping right now, so I don't want to mess him up. So the other thing that my geek out will be is tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of Jim Henson's death, and four of the Muppeteers are actually getting together to chit-chat and talk live. It's always going to be at, if you want to register for it, go to MuppetGuysTalking.com/Jim, and you can actually register, and they will tell you when it goes live, and you can ask questions in there as well. You can submit to them. It's going to be Frank Oz, Bill Beretta, Fran Brill, and Dave Goals all talking about stuff. So I am super excited, huge Muppet fan, and that's what I'm going to be geeking out on. Moving on to who else is on the cast. Mr. Masonic Vader, the co-host that can actually get this to flow better. What have you been geeking out on?
Well, I was going to start talking about my gaming, but right now I'm going to be geeking out on some Dramamine from the way your camera is going. Jesus. I've been geeking out this week. As some of you have already seen, I've been starting to stream some of the some games on us. I've been doing Stranded Deep. And actually, I joined a community on Facebook for the PS4. Holy Nikes, man. You should see some of the places they're building on their islands. And then, of course, I was starting to play The Last of Us before our internet was really interrupted several times. So been kind of having my get my video game geek on this last week, and it's been kind of fun.
Nice. Yeah, he's been streaming here on the Twitch channel. So twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. You guys should come check it out. Also joining us on the cast, we have a bearded master. What have you been geeking out on, sir?
I've been geeking a little bit of everything this last week and a half. Started Clone Wars, started with the movie, and started getting through the seasons. So that's been kind of nice and fun watching those. The prop culture on Disney Plus. If you guys haven't tuned in or watched that out, that's pretty cool and interesting. It's about 7 or 8 episodes right now, but they've got different episodes like props and the back and stories of a bunch of different things. Mary Poppins, Tron, Pirates of the Caribbean, that kind of stuff. So pretty cool watching that stuff.
So it's just the props from the movies, or because I was trying to check that out, but I never got
it's,
to see it.
So basically it's a guy, so Dan Langan, and he basically is going around. He's a prop collector, just a figure collector altogether. And he's basically every episode's a different movie, and he goes back and forth from all the from the studio, the archives, Walt Disney Museum, Walt Disney's office, and he's getting history behind like some of these key items, you know, like in Mary Poppins, the bag, the umbrella, the horses that they rode, the in Pirates of the Caribbean, the wardrobes and the different stuff from the boats and the ships that are still hanging around. It's just different, the different key elements of the movies that kind of stood out to people and getting like the history behind those. So it's just a cool 30-minute watch and everything on these movies and seeing kind of the background. There's a couple other movies that they did that, but it's pretty cool. It kind of gets irritating and frustrating with the guy. It's like, they did Nightmare Before Christmas. So they talked to Danny Elfman. But no, it's a cool 30-minute watch. It's nothing just to put on and kind of see a little bit different things that we all grew up watching and enjoying and loving.
Nice.
And then geeking out on eBay. I've been fig hunting a lot lately, and all my money for this time has been going to figures, wrestling, Star Wars, Power Rangers, Turtles. It doesn't matter. It's eBay's been an addiction over the last 3 weeks. I may have a problem. You've heard it here first.
So we know where your stimulus went.
Stimulus. Get one of those first.
Also joining us on the cast, we have Nick. What have you been geeking out on, Nick?
So I've been geeking out on one of my favorite shows that is kind of it's one of those shows to where it just doesn't get a whole lot of love. Have any of you all heard of The Last Kingdom?
I've heard of it. I didn't get to watch it.
Yep.
Gotcha. So it's the fourth season right now. I know Masonic Vader would love this, being a history guy like myself, but it takes place during Dane Law in Northumbria in England during the time of King Alfred. Really cool series. I mean, it's now on the point of the show where it's King Edward, Alfred's son, and it follows this guy named Uhtred. Really well done show. I highly recommend it. I binged episodes 1 through 10 this week. Haven't had much time to devote to my video games because of it.
Netflix, Hulu? Recommend
it. Go check it out. Netflix, The Last Kingdom, about a guy named Uhtred.
Cool.
And lastly, rejoining us on the cast because he hasn't been here in a while, Mind Freak, what are you geeking out on?
What's up, everybody? I'm back. So, a couple things. Been geeking out doing a playthrough of all the Final Fantasies. Like the original ones, not the remakes. So I've already done two. Well, let me rephrase it. 4, 5, and 6, or 2, 3, 4, out here in North America, just because you know how all that crossover. I've done 7, and I'm halfway through 8 right now. Going to be going through 9 after that. And then also, because next year is the 20th anniversary of the release of Bleach, one of the cult classic animes out there, and it being the 20th anniversary, I think I mentioned it before, somebody brought it up, they're bringing the anime back next year and continuing with the Bloody Wars arc. So I've been rewatching through Bleach right now in all its glory.
Nice. Didn't know they were bringing it back, so that's awesome. I have no idea what people are geeking out on in the chat room. I don't know if anybody checked that for me.
Johnny Bonjon. Johnny has been binging on Cobra Kai. So getting through those.
Nice.
That's a fantastic series.
Jack Malice has been geeking out on Spades on his phone. Wow. All right. There you go. That's about the geek out right there. That right there, and Infinity itself is a geek out.
Well, let's get into the show then. We're going to start out with In a World, which is our trailer reactions.
In a city, in a town, in a world, they thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
The first trailer that we're going to react to, this is a throwback. This is big time nostalgia. And that is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered. Came out with a trailer to show that I guess there's a need for crazy stunts and old school skateboarders, because they didn't update anything outside of the graphics, I think, because now you can play it on your 4K TV. That's their whole thing.
I mean, are you saying that there isn't a need for it?
I was about to say, you bite your tongue.
There's always a need for it.
I mean, literally 30 seconds so after they posted the link, I had already pre-ordered my deluxe edition.
Oh, same.
So already waiting for the warehouse demo to finally hit, because that's supposed to hit earlier than the game itself. Yes. I cannot wait. You will not see me I already told my girlfriend, like, once this comes out, you're losing my time because I will be playing Tony Hawk and the soundtrack will be playing 24/7.
Speaking of soundtrack, did you hear that they announced the soundtrack today?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the dude. Like, just looking through it, I'm like, oh, nostalgia.
They did add some new music, but they are keeping a lot of the old music too. Yep. So, can't get back. Kids, oh, this is awesome.
So, they did add
I want the music just... from Tony Hawk 3.
Oh, dude, like the soundtrack from the first Thug game was fantastic. That was probably my favorite one.
I grabbed my skateboard and I was going to go down the rails on my stairs there, but I decided to hold back since, you know, I'm a little older now. Phenomenal.
You can't skate.
Oh, there was a day I used to.
Yeah, a day.
Hey, shut your mouth. But I'll tell you, it looked awesome because I was one of those kids.
It ended in the emergency room.
It was on a bike with the emergency room and appendicitis. Anyways, I was one of those kids waiting for that Tony Hawk to come out, the first one. I watched that video again. I was like, man, this is awesome. This is nostalgia in a cup, and I'm gonna be chugging it all damn day.
Yeah, I still have my PS2, because I saw like the Tony Hawk 2, and then I have my Tony Hawk Underground. That I the reason why I keep it is for Tony Hawk and SmackDown. Like, those were the only games I played on PS2, and that's the only reason why I keep that system even around.
Yeah, Johnny John in the chat room said 720 was awesome, and now he's dating himself.
So based off of seeing this this remaster, you know, I just, a lot of people understand Final Fantasy and 7. There wasn't, like, I don't think there was, like, people clamoring for this. It looks awesome, and I remember when PlayStation first came out, I spent a lot of time standing in Circuit City playing the Tony Hawk Pro Skater demo over and over again, because that's pretty much all that was on the little thing to show you the PlayStation unit. Are there any other games that you want to see them remaster that are, like, not as sought out but were amazing?
Yes, GoldenEye.
Two. Yeah, well, three, if you include GoldenEye. the two for me, and one of the very first games, like earliest games I remember playing on the PlayStation, was a game called Brave Fencer Musashi. And that it was an RPG game. It was so much fun. The second one, it's on Xbox Game Pass, is the Xbox version, but I'd love to see a remastered version of that. Would be Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Panzer Dragons were great. It was great.
Yes.
I can't remember the game's name whatsoever, but I remember it enough to where it left a good impression on my mind as far as the game itself. It was a PlayStation game, PlayStation 1, and it gave me the feel that I was playing something like Blade Runner. You were some kind of a mercenary or bounty hunter, and you would upgrade your tech and your gear, and I just can't remember the name of the game. I wish I could remember it. I'd love to see that come back.
Nice. So moving on to the next quick reaction, because it was only like a 30-second trailer. The Boys, we're waiting for season 2 of the Amazon, based off of the comic book by Garth Ennis. Well, for Mother's Day, they released a creepy little video of what was the character? Homelander? Yeah,
Homelander
and his mom. And yeah, I don't know if you guys watched. If you're watching this and you didn't watch the little 30-second video, you should and be creeped out. What'd you guys think?
Well, I haven't watched The Boys yet, and I was under the assumption The Boys was something totally different. I didn't know that this was the series. For some reason, I felt like, I don't know why, but I had some weird thought that this had to do with something like vampires and like The Lost Boys. Like, it was connected to that for some reason. But like this trailer, I was like, oh crap, I need to go back and watch season 1, and I need to get ready for this series because this series looks badass. I was not expecting what I saw in that trailer.
Well, the comic book is nuts, so and it's a little trail down, it's a little calm down on Amazon. Look like you're gonna say that something there, Masonic.
No, I just laughed because, when I first heard about that, I thought the same thing when I watched the first. Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's a great series. And, seeing that 30 seconds, Oh man, dude, that's there is shit coming. That's all I gotta say, man. That thing looks insane.
Well, it takes mother love to a whole nother level.
Not what I'm taking this week, sir. Not what I'm taking this week.
Mind Freak, did you have something on the reaction to it?
Oh my gosh.
No, I missed it, but I like seeing some of the other trailers and stuff like that. Like I can already tell that this next season is going to be fantastic. I'll have to go back and see that clip.
Nick,
based on everything that you guys are saying, I don't even know if I want to go watch it now.
You probably don't. Yeah. What about you? Any thoughts?
So I have it on my list of shows to watch, but I purposely didn't watch it because I'm planning on watching the show, and I'm actually have it pretty much within the next one or two shows that I'm going to be watching, binge watching. So I didn't watch it because I don't want to not know what's going on.
I have to say, I think there was another trailer that came out or something longer, because I recall like the one we saw in our chat room and stuff for this to get this going was 30 seconds. I do believe I think I saw something out there was about 2.5 minutes.
There was a full-on trailer a few months back, but this was a teaser promo.
That was the recent one. Okay, gotcha.
Season two is still coming. Here's a little teaser for Mother's Day. And it was it was Homelander with mom and nuzzling mom and mom asking him to drop his pants. So that's the whole gist of it. So
he was sucking his thumb too. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I you know what? I would love to be anybody. I don't care. Camera guy, microphone guy, whatever. I would love to see that actually being shot. I don't know how many times they had to do that scene, but I can almost imagine there's got to be a crap load of cut stuff that they could do for a comedy reel at the end of it, just for that one scene alone.
I'm sure.
Jeez.
I'm just wondering how uncomfortable Elizabeth Shue is playing that role. So
she's getting paid. She's comfortable.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's move on to the big nuts and bolts of the show, and that's the nerd news. Nerd news this week. The first and foremost, like I said, the name of this episode is not all wishes not created equal. And a big wish that a lot of nerds had was we finally got a Swamp Thing series that was done right with a little bit of a horror theme to it. Had huge reviews to it, like great reviews, but DC, Warner Brothers kind of screwed the pooch on it and caused it to go bankrupt and was canceled the series after one season, which we all thought it was just, that was it. It was done. We weren't going to get it picked up. Well, to the rescue, a network comes to pick it up. And this is where the question is it really what we want or we wished for? Swamp Thing was saved by the CW.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I love CW, man. It's I watched stuff on there all the time. Obviously, we've gotten other comic book shows on there. Riverdale's on there, but I think CW is a great platform for it. And if they give us the quality that we expect and that we have seen from what this can do, I think it's a great thing. It's definitely something that should have been broadcast and brought up, and that entire series of comic books and that characters need to be brought to the forefront. And that's kind of where from the beginnings and bringing it to the forefront for us all to watch and enjoy still. If it's going to get a high production value, absolutely, it's what we want.
Johnny Bon Johnny in the chat room says CW is perfect for it. I thought about this because I haven't watched the new series yet as far as with it and everything, so I'd love to. But I don't know. I think we talked about this a while back with CW, with them losing a bunch of their shows like Arrow and whatnot. They're trying to obviously replenish it. What's the possibility of a crossover with Swamp Thing? Because that's the first thing I thought of. It's a DC. I know they've probably done some kind of crossovers in the comic book before.
Well, yeah, it's probably going to cross into the CW. Before I get into it, Mind Freak, Nick, do either of you guys have any thoughts on it? Nope. Okay. So that's the thing is this was a little bit, it's DC Universe. So Doom Patrol and Teen Titans both were a little bit more
hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore. And that's what the Swamp Thing was as well. And now you're going to go have it go over to CW, which means it's going to get put into Arrowverse, which I know Arrow's no longer around, but that's still what the term of it is. So I feel like it's going to get diluted down. That's why Fenton said don't get the wit. You know, you don't always get the wishes that you hope for. To the point that it was stated by insiders that when they made this show, when they were making Swamp Thing, they thought that they had a dud and finished it out for what they had just so that they wouldn't lose a bunch of money, because they'd be like, here's episodes for DC Universe. But they thought that they had a dud of a show, and it came and got tons of rave reviews. So if they're thinking they have a dud and somebody goes and saves it over there, I'm afraid that they're going to turn it into like an iZombie or something like that. And that's not what I want Swamp Thing to become. I'd rather it go over to HBO Max, which is where Teen Titans is going.
Well, they could probably still get away with it on CW. I mean, you know, they can put it like a later show, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, where they could get away with airing certain content that you couldn't do during primetime hours. That's a total possibility. They just do it later.
Yeah, but you're all for it, Bearded Master.
I am. I mean, if it puts something that puts something on TV that I enjoy watching, I'm always going to be for it. You know, I'm not gonna lie. Power Rangers isn't the greatest thing ever, but they put a new Power Rangers series on and they say some of the classics are going to be on there. I'm tuning in. It's simple as that.
Well, I mean,
if it's my kind of content, I'm going to watch it.
The biggest question with it, though, is, okay, did you watch Constantine, the first season of Constantine before it got canceled on NBC?
Yes.
So it's pretty similar on the character, but they changed the character quite a bit for Legends of Tomorrow. For the good? Right.
From what Constantine was, I mean, here's the thing. When Constantine came out, I was expecting, you know, a much different show than what they gave us in the first place. I was hoping it was going to be much darker than what it was. I was leaning more towards Keanu and Rachel Weisz. But, you know, when it came to TV, it was like, okay, obviously there's reasons why. And then when it changes to change it again after that, it's like, okay, well, it's understandable, but it's still on. It wasn't bad. It just was a different scenario. They've done it in the past. Like when things go from one channel to, you know, like Netflix or something like that, obviously it's Netflix, so it's going to change a little bit. But I don't know. It gives another opportunity for them to do something right with it. Now, if they go and they do dilute it, I don't see that happening. I mean, they still do things somewhat dark on CW. Not everything is bright and shiny and comic-y. Riverdale, and it's freaking Archie Comics, and it's still not like a light breezy show to watch. It still has some darkness to it, especially season 4, when they have the Dungeon Master and everything on there, and the Goliath or the Gargoyle King. I mean, the stuff like that, they're still doing some dark things on there where they could still do this right.
L also agrees with you in the chat room that Riverdale is the shiznit. I'll say that versus what she said.
Hey, you know what? I did actually like the reimagining of Riverdale they've done so far, so I can't get mad at them for that. But I'm just afraid. So
that's your baby. That's why.
Well, it's Big Papa Matt's baby, but yeah. Moving on. Big news topic, because there was a tons of stuff coming out with it over and over and over. There's all types of stuff that's just flowing right now.
Please,
including. And that's Mandalorian season 2. There's tons of casting and rumors and all types of stuff. So let's hit these little notes. So the first one, Katie Sackhoff has been cast in Mandalorian season 2, and she is playing Bo-Katan Kryze. Hey, I'm back.
Bo-Katan. Yeah, go for it.
which she voiced in the Clone Wars and Rebels.
So yeah,
she's playing her for life. What do you guys think,
dude? It looks like her, for God's sake. I mean, she's got the same hair. She's got the she's a kick-ass actor. She already has the physical chops. I am down to see. That's casting perfect number one right there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's fantastic. Looking back a couple months ago, we're talking about them casting and then them bringing Rosario Dawson in. to play characters. And, you know, it was a little bit of a different polarizing conversation we had then. But this one, this is fantastic. It's perfect. It doesn't get – it literally is perfect for the entire thing. I love it.
I think they were watching our show just because we were complaining about how they should have got the voice character for Ahsoka. So they decided, oh, all right, we'll go ahead and get this one. We're fine.
Well, I mean, but also, too, at the same time, though, it just kind of goes to show, you know, how in tune to a lot of the things that Star Wars, that not only that Jon Favreau is in with, but also Dave Filoni is as well. You know, the fact that they're talking consistently and all that kind of stuff. And even, like, these little bits of stuff and all that kind of stuff that's happened throughout, like, Clone Wars and in Rebels, and you see a lot of the ties that has into it, and what's possibly could happen. I mean, a lot of ties in The Mandalorian, what's going to happen here in the future. It just goes to show that, honestly, right now, that they kind of have Star Wars on the right path.
Well, they do in this area.
Like that. Yeah, in this area. That's what I mean. That's what I mean, in this area.
Hey, Ruru 2, you need to bite your tongue. Low budget sci-fi. I don't know if you ever saw this remake on sci-fi for 4 years called Battlestar Galactica. That wasn't low sci-fi. That's actually what jump-started her, Katie Sackhoff's career, pretty much. She's a solid pick for this.
Mm-hmm.
Also has another series on Netflix she's doing that's also sci-fi. I can't remember the name of it, but it went through the first season, and they're bringing back a second season for it.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like, not even just the fact that she's casting it, but the fact that we know that Bo-Katan is going to be in season two, which means it's going to get more backstory to the Darksaber, which, if it does go right, hopefully, I mean, we already got told that we're going to see some Boba in this one, but if we get a glimpse,
hey, wait, don't go ahead yet. There's more of that.
Well, this involves Bo-Katan, though. If this gives us a glimpse that we get some Darth Maul in The Mandalorian, I'm excited. I'm excited about this for everything it's going to lead to.
I do like that Katie Sackhoff's in it. I do. For the most part, she's good. Going back to CW, I hate her character on The Flash, so I can't stand it. I hate the fake British accent she does for it, but I want to throw a bigger wrench in the fact that they cast Katie Sackhoff because she did the voice of Bo-Katan. Hey, there's another actress that always did the voice of her character that didn't get cast as her character in live action, even though she would have been willing to play her, and that's Ashley Eckstein. Is this like a slap in the face to Ashley when they went and cast somebody else to play her character that is basically her character? It's Ahsoka is Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it is, but I mean, after some time's passed, obviously I feel that maybe Rosario does fit the role a little bit more, but it would have been more of a fandom for us and, you know, to have her in there voicing and playing the role. I think that would have been better off.
I want to say something, but I know Nick got cut off. Nick, jump in there. What were you going to say, sir?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I mean, some people just aren't a good fit for the camera. Some people have a face for radio. Some actresses look
like me.
The part more than somebody else. And I have complete faith in the producers and Jon Favreau. I think Jon Favreau is a creative genius. But until they steer me wrong, like, I have complete faith in everything that they're doing with The Mandalorian.
I tell you, after us talking about some of these other people in a second, I bet you it would have been different. I think initially Rosario was casted, I think, for what she brings as far as her background and acting, her fan base and stuff like that, because you got a lot of that with the first season with one episodes of people that came in and kind of did their one scene and stuff, and they were a bad guy, but they were well-known characters. So I think initially that's what they probably were gunning for. They're talking about the other people. I guarantee if we were going to have this conversation a month now, we probably would have had Epstein, Rosario, just because I don't think they would need the namesake anymore, you know?
Super and Red Meatpaw are all for Katie and anything that she does. HJZ Grok says she thinks that both Rosario and Ashley are a little old to be playing Ahsoka, but I think at the time frame of when Ahsoka would be a Mandalorian, they hit the age perfectly.
Yeah, well, because you got to look at, you know, the Clone Wars when she's voicing Ahsoka is back between, you know, episode two, where this is happening after Return of the Jedi. So the age difference is greatly there for them to be playing that role.
Yeah. And not only that, though, you're forgetting Rebels. Because yeah, a lot of this is going to be based off of Rebels. And Rebels, at the end of last episode, she was, I would say, at least mid-20s. She was definitely older. I can't give you a date.
Way older than that.
Yeah, whatever it was. I don't know. Yeah, it was like 8, 10 years or something.
Yeah.
Red Paw says that Katie Sackhoff is a nerdy boy's fantasy. Hence the reason why they put her in there, I guess. Super also says bring in the nerdy boys and girls. Then they mentioned their ages. Rosario and Ashley are both 30s, early 40s. So there you go.
Yeah, Ruru, it's Hollywood name recognition goes a long way for casting. Super said Katie is timeless. Yeah, they're all for it. But Red Meatball, it's acting, folks. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
So holy crap, they have old men playing the romantic interest of young women all the time. Yeah, that's Hollywood. Moving on to the next part of The Mandalorian. So there is a rumor that not only are we getting Bo-Katan in there, but we are also going to get Sabine coming to it and potentially being played by WWE superstar Sasha Banks.
There goes all the malice cast except for me. All right. Actually, you know what? It makes sense because I do recall. No. Listen, wait. Let me just say what I'm about to say. I'm not saying I agree with it. I say it makes sense, though, because about a month or two ago, news came out that she was casted to be in the series The Mandalorian. So now with these rumors floating about and everything, it makes sense. I could see it. Can she be an actor? I have no clue.
She came.
Let me go first. Let me go first, Bearded Master. Let me go first. The absolute second I heard that she was cast in The Mandalorian, and at the end of the first episode, I'm like, she better not be playing Sabine. I swear they better not bring her in the show and make her play that. I said that to myself. Whatever. No. No, no, no.
Go ahead, right. Bearded.
Can you top that, Bearded?
No. One, I can't stand Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. Her, you know what? She's a great wrestler. But when it comes to Sasha Banks, the one downfall that I have been knocking her for years is the fact she can't cut her promo. And when you cut in her promo, what's cutting her promo? It's stating and repeating your lines. She's horrific at it. She's horrible. Keep the mic out of her hand. And now we got to watch her. No. Just no. It's ridiculous. I don't want to see that. By having the character in Mandalorian, it opens up the entire backstory to the Darksaber and everything that we all know is going there, which means she's a prominent role in that. Because she's a prominent role in what kind of transfers Bo-Katan from where she was to being on, you know, the rebel side and going against Darth Maul. That's how she gets to that role. And so by having her like that, she's going to be a prominent role in that story, which means I'm going to see more of her than I really, really want to. And seeing her twice a week on TV already is more than I already want to see her.
What color was Sabine's hair at the end of Rebels? I hope it wasn't blue because we already know what hair color it is. I mean, that's the only thing I could.
Throughout Rebels, Sabine did change her hair color multiple times. Yeah. Just saying.
I don't know.
She's got like that purple violet tint to it, I thought.
Yeah. The acting aspect of it, I have no freaking clue. I think the physical aspect of it, I think she'll do good. I don't know. I mean, this is crazy.
Do we not have faith in Favreau and Filoni? And
we have faith.
It's not the fact that we have faith in them. It's the fact that we don't have faith in Sasha Banks.
What was that?
The
Nick?
Thing that I'm thinking, guys. The thing that I'm thinking is that if you can't act that well, they'll probably limit the amount of time she's on screen. It's probably there just for more for aesthetics. Because I have a lot of faith in Jon Favreau and his crew. I really don't think that they would subject someone who's not good at acting to destroy a character that people love. I just refuse to believe that. And
I refuse to believe it also. But then when I see her name floated around with that, it kind of brings it down a notch. And I'm like,
Bearded, let me put your mind at ease, dude. This series was able to make Scout Troopers awesome. Okay.
They were child, it was child abused.
Okay.
He beat a keep child.
Keep going with the casting, because this is I keep looking at this cast. This is awesome.
Finally arrived this week. Just
in the chat room, couple things. Johnny Bon Johnny, just a pick, horrible choice. HJZ Grok, ew, Sasha Banks doesn't look like a good fit. And then I love her comment next. OMG, casting director has no imagination. Oh, look, purple hair. Ruru2 said the ADR, Gina Carino's entire Haywire movie with another actress. So, yeah, we'll find out. Like I said, we have faith in Favreau, hopefully, that I don't know. I don't know.
No, yeah.
Lastly, on The Mandalorian, they cast Timothy Oliphant. We don't know what as. But I think the last thing we saw him on was Santa Clarita Diet. So, yay, Oliphant.
I love Timothy Oliphant.
I mean, who does it?
Awesome actor. I really do.
Actually, you know what? There was something we missed on there. We talked about it, I think, last week as far as the fact that having Boba Fett back. However, I was reading some articles, and what really gets me excited about this, because you guys know I was a big fan of those and whatnot, is that Tamara Morrison not only is going to be playing Boba Fett, but apparently he's also going to be playing Captain Rex.
Which would be awesome. But it's a rumor.
I think it's plausible. I mean, you have the Black Saber. You bring a Sabine Wren. I mean, this seems like they're going to try to make Rebels not only canon, but also continue the story and potentially even... I don't even know where they're going.
Definitely bridging the entire television universe into one.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I think this is I think they're starting to pull a Marvel here.
But getting back
actually
to
able to
I mean it's Favreau, so it's plausible.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. But getting back to Oliphant, because that's what everybody's going gaga over in the chat room. They said that's all that matters is Oliphant. Is there a character that's already pre-made? Going back to what you're saying about getting Rebels more involved in it and the animated series more involved in it, is there a character that you'd like to see Oliphant play? Just some new character.
So I was talking to my kid about this before the cast because we watched all the shows, and I said, I looked at this guy, and I said, hey, who do you think this guy looks like? And he's looking at him, and I said, just think of somebody from Rebels. And he threw out Kanan.
That's why not? Thought went, yeah.
Force ghost him. Bring in some – I mean, there's this would be the season where you could bring in someone like Yoda. I mean, they have baby Yoda, the child. You know, whatever you want to call them, bring in somebody force sensitive, Ahsoka, excuse me. You could possibly get a force ghost Kanan.
Did you say Ahsoka, excuse me?
No, I said Ahsoka, I said, excuse me, because I said Ahsoka beforehand, and that was another wrestler. Yeah, anyways,
I did not bring that one. I like it.
anybody else have a character they'd like to see Oliphant play? I was thinking Kanan as well.
Yeah, that's exactly the same wavelength that I was on.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, like even though it's a Kanan, I'm thinking like another fellow bounty hunter. For some reason, like with Timothy Oliphant, just like him and his like style of acting and like what he kind of portrays. For some reason, I went to Cad Bane from Clone Wars.
Just make him justified into Star Wars.
the hat, Cad Bane's hat, exactly.
With an accent from New Orleans.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, Mandalorian 2 is doing some crazy stuff and it's awesome stuff. You know, the only person they haven't cast yet is Nick Cage. So.
There you go. Maybe that would be Cad Bane. I mean, Cad Bane would be great to be in there. Nick Cage is Cad Bane.
Ooh, Nick Cage is Cad Bane? I'd be all for that.
That's next week's breaking news.
Or if we really want to make Jack Malice really happy, what you do is you get Nick Cage to play Thrawn in something. I'm waiting to see him scream in the chat room. I'm waiting to see him scream in the chat room.
Nick Cage,
Admiral Thrawn.
Can you imagine him? Just imagine him in Mandalorian. Put the bunny in the box.
Put the child in the basket is what it would be.
That's it. I've decided. There it is. I'm going to steal the child.
There's Jack on the chat room. Okay. Tim Solo is what HJZ Grok says.
Jack Malice apparently got your response. Right? We will not say that. Deb.
No, we're not saying what he had to say. You should be here live, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp every Friday. And you can see the chat room and you can interact and you can actually be a part of the show and you can cash out things and make things happen in the show if you look at the rewards for the points that you accumulate. So moving on to the next thing, Deadpool 3, we get news from apparently Rob Liefeld, who was the creator of Deadpool in the comic books, says that Marvel has no plans for Deadpool 3. Do you think he's just being a lie-filled, or is he, you know, know something?
100%. There's no way in hell and leave Deadpool behind when the whole merger took over. They said, came out and said, we are still going to continue Deadpool, and we're not going to affect it or change the way it's been and way it's come out. To all of a sudden, a year later, we're not going to do it at all? Bullshit. It's, no. No.
I think Disney is just trying to figure out how to handle it. I mean, it goes outside their norm. It goes way outside their spectrum.
Man, they have plenty. They not everything's under a Disney brand, though. They could put it under a non-Disney brand.
Absolutely. No, I totally get that. But when it's all said and done, this isn't the 1980s where Disney could own Buena Vista, whatever, and no one really know what the hell's going on. You know, this is the way where everyone knows that Disney owns everything. So technically it's associated. However, I think it's complete BS only because of the simple fact that it is one of the bigger Marvel standalones, if not the biggest one that they have going. It has the most backup of it. The characters are loved. I think they're just trying to figure out how they're going to factor it in because they've already out the Phase 4, Phase 5. They're not going to want to wait till Phase 6 because by then, I mean, shit, Ryan Reynolds might even not want to do it at that point because he might be old enough, you know?
Well, no, I think they got it because Ryan Reynolds is Wade Wilson. Let's be honest. He could be 80 years old. He'll be like, time to play Deadpool.
I think they just need to figure out where they're going to plug him in.
We need to take back Nick Cage as Thrawn. Of course, we don't want that to happen. We were just messing with Jack, but he's going to cut the feed if we don't take it back. So we take it back. No Nick Cage as Thrawn. Don't do it.
To add what you're saying, Ken, like the trying to fit it in makes perfect sense. The fact that we know we're going to get more X-Men out of it all, and they're going to have to redo X-Men. You know, they're basically Deadpool is their merger over from the X-Men universe to Disney and MCU. So they got to figure out how they're going to merge over X-Men because it's not going to be a continuation of that. It's going to have to be something that's going to be working well with the MCU, but then not completely rewrite Deadpool. And so I think you're correct there as far as them trying to fit it all in, trying to piece it together. So I think, we're still going to get it. But, it's going to take some strategy into how they do it.
And Jack Malice demands an apology to Timothy Zahn and to Thune. We apologize to Timothy Zahn and to Thune.
Absolutely.
Or otherwise known as Thrawn.
No. You're right, Thune. It was totally Thune. He likes that B-rated Star Wars stuff, man.
Hey, I like the Ewok films, okay? I have them on DVD.
You're the only
person. Yes.
But I could even see them going as far as even possibly cameoing it with Doctor Strange's movie because that's the supposed movie that they're talking about X-Men getting interjected or mutants getting interjected. So perfect way. I could even be like a 5-second like, hey, you guys need a hookup to go talk to this Professor X guy. I know who to talk to. I know where to take you kind of thing, you know. Anything would do just be awesome.
It'll be the best thing at the end of that movie. We just in the credits, he just pops in the credits. And so, what's up, Strange? You didn't want to come visit my universe? You don't want to leave me out of it? You don't want to involve me? You don't want to come see me in the dimension? and then leave it at that. That'd be a perfect throw-in for him.
So there, it was an interview with Inverse that Rob Liefeld did this. This is his quote. I don't know. Here's what people don't want to hear, but thank God I'm a realist. I feel like Deadpool, the movies, they've set sail. We got two brilliant movies, and we live in a culture that always looks forward because all they're ever selling us is next, next, next. It's the fever. For me, as the fever calms down, people just need to calm down and realize that Deadpool 1 and 2 were released within 2 years of each other, 2016 and 2018, and I just can't – I'm not really that crazy about Marvel's plan right now. He added that it would take at least 4 years with their Phase 4 theme, and he can't get excited about that. And he said he says, what their plan for Deadpool is right now? Goose egg, zero, zero. I hate Liefeld. just saying that.
I think he's just pissed off that he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the control of it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's his baby, but does he really have any more say in it? Is it really? I mean, he gets the creative kind of like, hey, I created him, but he doesn't get to say anything else or do anything else with it.
And thank you for the 100 cheer bits, cannon fodder in the chat room. Yes. Appreciate that. So yeah, you guys just think it's a full on.
It'd be dumbish. It would be the dumbest move Disney's ever made.
Yeah, I agree. So, anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Nope. It's a COVID hissy fit he's throwing over there.
just tell him to go spend his time trying to draw feet.
Practice.
He needs it. He refused to. If people don't know the whole rule with Liefeld, or Liefeld rather, sorry, I really need. I now need it just in capital letters. Liefeld in terms of his
being Mr. No is. Shoes.
Yeah, he would not draw feet because he couldn't draw feet. So he refused to. He tried not to draw feet into all his panels.
I think this is a part in the video for YouTube where you go and check out one of the Teen Titans Go and get the picture of their crazy foots that look all roided and hairy and shit. Throw that in and hashtag them.
Moving along with the comic book front, Sandman, written by Neil Gaiman, is getting a Netflix series, but that's on hold right now because of all the COVID stuff. So, how do you fix that? Well, the first Audible graphic novel of Sandman is coming out, and holy freaking moly, it's got a cast that's to die for an Audible book.
You know, you're a new dad. I'll say it for you. Holy shit. It's awesome.
It is awesome. So you've got Riz Ahmed as, oh, good Lord, get bigger.
The Corinthian,
yeah, my picture
didn't. So you need to get your bifocals on? You already got down?
No, it went into small.
Oh, sure.
Kat Dennings is as Death, which is one of my favorite characters. Taron Egerton as John Constantine. That's an interesting one. Neil Gaiman's doing the narrator. James McAvoy as Morpheus. Samantha Morton as Uranium Blackwell. B.B. Newworth as the Siamese Cat. Andy Serkis as Matthew the Raven. Michael Sheen as Lucifer, which is Lucifer that we all know on Netflix that is based off of the Neil Gaiman Lucifer. Arthur Darvill's in this as well, doing a voice. Sue Johnston, Reginald D. Hunter. Just a nuts, insane. I don't know of an Audible series that I've ever seen that came with this big of a cast before. So I just wanted to know what you guys' thoughts were on getting a comic book with this cast and if there's any other comic books that need a cast like this and who you'd want to see cast into it.
Can you just say... like audio orgasmic amazement right there. Like just put that shit on and it's gold to your ears.
That's pretty amazing. But there's one single individual that can make a better audiobook. Just one person.
Who?
You know who that is? Morgan Freeman.
Johnny Bon Jovi.
Everybody.
Johnny Bon Jovi said he can't see Elton John as Constantine.
I could tell you this. I don't know what when you say Sandman to me, I don't know the comic. I know three Sandmans. Oh, so I know the good one. I know the one in Spider-Man. I know the one sung by Metallica. And I know the crazy ass dude from the 80s and 90s that walked around with a can and hit beer cans on his forehead in ECW. Okay, that's what I know about Sandman. Looking at this cast, holy shit, I would go back and want to read the comics just so I get ready to hear the freaking audio part of it, because that is a phenomenal cast. They have a lot of great actors, voice actors, people I know that could easily make something in the gold. And yeah, I'm gonna have to go and look into it now.
Yeah, it was a Vertigo title. I think one of the very first DC Vertigo titles, because it was an older comic. And Gaiman is amazing. I love this. HAZ Grok says in the chat room, World War Z has a great audiobook cast, including Mark Hamill, Nathan Fillion, Alan Alda, and Jerry Ryan. I'm just listening to that.
That cast sounds amazing, and like, you know, mm-hmm. all those, it's like all it's fantastic. My only thing, and this is me just being me and my thought and opinion, not to downsize anything, but it'll be interesting to hear Michael Sheen as Lucifer, only because he played Aziraphale in Neil Gaiman's Good Omens, too. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, him playing Angel, then flip flopping it over to Lucifer. But
Lucifer did start out as an angel.
If you go in that way, dude also played Aro in Twilight. So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
It's just like you can't go off of one.
Yeah, that's true. Come on. But also too, I mean,
you're going to be listening to this entire book, and anytime Andy Serkis comes up, you're just going to be like,
"Precious,
no, exactly."
Precious.
Thank you.
No, but it's just like it's like again, like you kind of missed it. You know, I mean, I know there's Lucifer is up in the air with Netflix and all that stuff right now, but like, why not get Tom Ellis to play the character that he's known for on Netflix? That's just my two cents with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, then while we're at it, just get Keanu to come back and do Constantine.
Did that too.
Well, there's a surprising one.
Elton John.
No. The guy that plays Constantine. He's Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan does all the voice work for Constantine and everything else. Mm-hmm. Every animated movie that comes out with Constantine, it's Matt Ryan doing the voice, and not Matt Ryan from the Atlanta Falcons. That's the name of the actor that's playing him.
He's still Keanu Reeves, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what surprised me, was putting Taron Egerton to read this. And I think it's because when you have a cast like that, you have to put another level of actor up with that, somebody that's known, as opposed to Matt Ryan, who he's basically what Kevin Conroy became to Batman in terms of doing the voice everywhere. So,
mm-hmm. All right, good Bruce times.
Is that it? We good? We're good? I was thinking if anybody else had anything else.
No, but
Jack says we got some affiliate links for Audible and Amazon over on malice-corp.com. That's what this podcast is brought to you by, is malice-corp.com. So you guys should visit the website if you guys ever want to help us out. If you're going to be purchasing something from Amazon, make sure you head over to the website, click through to the Amazon there. Anything you purchase and buy, we get a little kickback on it. It does help us. It does fund us. If you want to help support this channel, the big thing you can always do is hit that follow. And if you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime, which means you get a free 30-day subscription to a channel every 30 days. You can click the subscribe above. It's free. You just click on subscribe with Prime, and it doesn't cost you anything, but it helps fund everything that we're trying to get prepared here and get better.
And I would like to thank Cannon Fodder actually subscribed to us this week. So thank you very much, Cannon Fodder 691, for subscribing to our channel.
Awesome. All right. So that's what we got for the nerd news. And last thing we got is somebody's got to talk about it.
We need to talk.
You talking to me?
Oh my God! Who told you?
Have you told anyone else about this?
What you talking about?
Look who's talking.
Somebody's got to talk about it. Is the weird, the odd, the strange stories that somebody's got to talk about. And what's more weird and odd than what's the most popular quarantine cocktail in each state? Well, a list came out of the most searched for cocktails, and did you guys get a chance to look at the list?
Yes, and I do have the number one.
Any that stand out to you on what state versus what cocktail was there? If you guys want to know what cocktail is for a certain state, let us know in the chat room. I will find it, and I will tell you so that we can talk about it more. Go ahead, Masonic.
Well, I was about to say, so the things I noticed most about it is that the number one drink searched in, like, number of states was the Old Fashioned. By seven states, D.C., Washington, Virginia, Oregon, New Mexico, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts.
I thought Kamikaze was dominant more than all the other ones, no?
No, Old Fashioned beat them. Kamikaze was a close second, I believe, at six.
Old Fashioned sounds like something that's more northeastern.
It's put it this way. Old Fashioned, everything that's keep popping up Old Fashioned is like the original Union. Let's put it that way. The 13 colonies all drank Old Fashions.
Hey, barkeep, I need another one.
Can we talk about how Alabama looks up?
Give me a now.
Hurricane is their most popular drink. I don't think you want Hurricane in Alabama.
I don't know what's up. Yeah, it is. What,
New Orleans is popular.
Go figure. California was tied up with Arizona and Texas. Our favorite drink is called a Palomar. It's not just an airport, or not an airport or a mountain. It's a drink. And never heard of it. Texas agreed with us. Yeah, neither have I. My favorite one was the one in Mississippi. I think Jack Malice needs this tonight. It's called the Painkiller.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was in it? Did it say what
I
was
don't
in
know,
it?
But it looked freaking good. I ain't gonna lie, dude.
Rum, pineapple juice, orange juice, and cream of coconut and nutmeg.
Kind of want to know what, like, West Virginia, like hillbilly states are. West Virginia.
West Virginia was old. Was old. Old Fashioned was West Virginia.
No, that was Virginia, not no. West Virginia. West
oh, I'm
Virginia.
Sorry. No, Kamikaze. I apologize. Kamikaze.
Yeah.
Was
yeah,
West
yeah.
Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that these people have too many times, too much time on the hands to just drink. Like,
what
is this? I drank a lot during the quarantine and while I was stuck at home for the 3 to 4 weeks I was at home. But I made three drinks. It was whiskey straight, tequila margaritas, and honey Jack and sweet tea.
Okay.
You don't need all this other crap. I don't have, you know, no. Just give me those three alcohols, and I'll make magic with it. You don't need to be making all these. Just too much time to take to make these drinks when you can just pour it and drink it.
Exactly. The thing that, like, kind of, like, stood out to me the most, the fact that Tennessee, you know, like, home of Jack Daniels and whiskey wasn't even the number one thing for Tennessee. Like, come on now. Really?
Well, it's
but again, like, but then I also realized too the fact that it was search drinks, not just drinks
exactly.
to drink.
So those in Tennessee know how to drink Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. Probably in their backyard right now.
Well, what caught me though was margaritas in Connecticut.
I mean, if you don't know how to make a margarita without looking,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, hell, you can go to the store and buy the premix stuff. I think they just missed their summer homes right now. In California. Bastards. Love you guys in Connecticut.
There was like a lot of drinks that were on here though are drinks that, like, you know, tequila sunrise, screwdrivers. And I can imagine let's make our home brunch today and we'll just have like tequila sunrises and screwdrivers and mimosas. Sunrise.
Well, hey, Hawaii's gotta be fancy with their lemon drop martini.
I was surprised
Tequila Sunrise wasn't more popular. Great Eagle Song.
Whatever. Yeah, what was funny too was up in Alaska, Whiskey Sour.
What was that chocolate one that keeps popping up? I can't remember.
Keeps you warm, so.
Exactly.
What was that chocolate drink that kept popping up? I think like four or five states picked. Yeah, what is that one all about?
That's got dark rum, Kahlua, creme de whatever. I don't even know heard that.
Creme de
coconut cream, milk, and ice in a blender.
Shit, that sounds
it's
like
basically
a
like frozen. Exactly, it's like a frozen like chocolate milkshake.
Oh, dude, that sounds like
throw some Bailey's in there.
Yeah.
So you ever drink Bailey's from a shoe?
HGC Grok in the chat says, I think it's a Paloma after Picasso's daughter. Ingredients, 3 parts grapefruit soda, 1 part tequila.
Palomar better, whatever.
Cannon Fodder says, Honey Jack and ginger ale is hashtag rad.
Peanut butter whiskey and cream soda is hashtag rad.
And HZ Grox says, I'm drinking all the Guinness with a shot of Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
There, ma, I see you're a man of culture as well.
Jack says, beer is hashtag rad, and what is a grapefruit? I hate grapefruit.
So I don't know, but I guarantee that the creator from Deadpool can't draw one because it's a foot. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
So, yeah, despite all the hiccups and the craziness and whatnot, I think that's the cast this week. That's the show. That's what we got. Do you guys have anything else?
Yeah, I need to take some Dramamine. I'm still feeling like I'm seasick from your craziness of the first 20 minutes of the cast, man.
Hey, but I got the computer going, so.
How can you be seasick? You've been playing Stranded Deep.
Well, did good point. You see he, like, drowned to death? Like, that's.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I did drown. That sucked.
Hey, just don't try Sea of Thieves or you really get seasick.
I got a little car sick on the way up here, so. Driving up the mountain, but yeah, so now we just talk about where to follow everybody. Thank you guys for coming and joining us on this week's cast. Let's talk about where to follow everybody outside of this little podcast right here. Nick, where can people follow you outside of this cast?
And Raiders0314 on Twitter and PlayStation Network.
Rubu2 asked, did we talk about New Mutants' fourth release date? No, because we're waiting for the fifth, sixth, and seventh release date because you know it's going to end up happening.
I think it's just we're looking for what says final.
No, we're looking for the one that says this weekend's numbers.
Yeah, exactly. The one where it's like, I will buy a ticket for, that's when we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and his computer froze.
Did it just freeze again?
Wow, he froze on Derek. An O face, I think.
Where can people find you, Derek?
Who's the what? Oh, sorry, that's me. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. You guys can follow me at Twitter at MindFreakMLG on Twitter. And then you can also follow me at MindFreak, MindFreak on Xbox Live.
Bearded Master, where can they follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at abeardedmaster. You can also follow me on Twitter at boot to the face and Instagram boot to the face _ talking wrestling all the time, where we're not talking Sasha Banks, but we are talking wrestling.
And talk about the mom apparently too, huh?
The mom. That's right.
The mom.
Congratulations to her and the biggest heel in the game, Seth Rollins. He just went above Ric Flair.
Big time.
Masonic Vader, where can they find you, sir?
You can follow me at Masonic Vader 71 on the PlayStation Network and Masonic Vader on Twitter. And you could also check me out right now. I'm doing Saturday and Sunday night streams at 8:00 Pacific Standard Time. Doing Stranded Deep on Saturday. And if I get my camera in, because I think our producer wants to see the camera, The Last of Us on Sunday night, and potentially doing again on Monday or Tuesday. Look out for it on Facebook. We'll do some announcement on. You can follow along and check out the fun. We end the show like we started it, all in chaos.
Internet just dropped up here.
Sure.
He probably got a phone call right now, and they're on dial up there, so just booted him off with a phone call. It's AOL minutes. Just expired.
Or if you check out your kid's hand, there's probably a cord pulled in there. He probably went over and hijacked the whole thing. Give me some dad time.
Big things. Check out everything over at malice-corp.com. There's more than just this show. There is the Malice Corp actual play, where some other members of Malice Corp play some D&D and some role-playing. You can also find Comics for All and other podcasts. So look up malice-corp.com. If you guys want to interact with us anytime, all the time, just drop gifts and whatnot. Facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast. Come interact with us over there. You can find this podcast at All Nerd Podcast on Twitter. And if you want to follow me, I am on Instagram at mest_malicecorp or on Twitter at mest5150. Thank you guys for joining us.
Computer's reliable.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you guys for joining us. We will be back next Friday to talk all things nerd with you and do the weekly nerd news roundup next Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. You guys have a good night. Stick around for the raid and keep nerding on.